the water, the vajra, the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, and the Mahaprasada, remnants of a Vaishnava. So sometimes devotees in Krishna conscious movement, they have a tendency to take the scriptures in such a way that they become somewhat fanatical in their activities. So I remember devotees would do whatever they could to steal the remnants of the true devotees. I remember that would happen all the time. Sometimes people would steal Prabhupada's plate and hide it themselves, and no one else would get it. So but these things are very, very spiritual power, very powerful spiritual. And when it comes in contact with you, one gets immense, immense spiritual blessings. So the entire area was being just devastated by all these followers of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was chanting and dancing because wherever he went, Lord Chaitanya would do that. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to chant and dance. That is the process for Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people mistakenly think that this is, what is this dancing, what is this chanting? Why don't we just sit down and meditate or read some books or offer some prayers? But actually, the highest form of devotional expression is to dance. If you're dancing, you're doing the highest form of devotional expression. It's not an exercise, it's not just some recreation. It's actually Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda, they're in a pose of dancing. Their feet are moving in a dancing, standing in a dancing position, and their arms are raised up over their head, glorifying the Lord. So that is actually the means for self-realization, to chant the names of the Lord and to dance, Hari Nam Sankirtan. And by doing that, there's nothing higher than that. It's so nice. Anybody can do it. Child can do it. Prabhupada said, even a dog can do it. There's a couple of stories about dogs dancing too in the scriptures. So, Lord Chaitanya, wherever he would go, he would dance and chant. And big crowds would follow him. So one minister of the governor, he came to the Nam and saw, he said, this Hindu saint is going everywhere, there's thousands of followers. He was kind of concerned. But actually the governor knew within his own heart that this actually wasn't the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was afraid. So the Lord got back to the Navabhi. And the Navabhi would always persecute any Hindus whenever he found the opportunity, especially someone who was starting a big religious movement in his kingdom. But this Navabhi, somehow or other, he understood. He said, he is not the same Hindu saint. He's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So leave him alone. Don't interfere at all with his chanting and dancing. And if you do, I'll finish you off. He told his ministers. This very cruel Nawab actually understood Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was going everywhere chanting and dancing. He came to the village of Ramakeli and he sat underneath the tree. And after some time, Rupa, who's the Nathan Goswami, and their brother Anupam, and they came to see Lord Chaitanya. And that was the first meeting that Sanatana Goswami had with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that meeting is very, very wonderfully described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That the quality that attracts Krishna the most, what is that quality that attracts Krishna the most? Is it how much money you can make? Is it? That's it? Humility, yeah. Humility is the quality that attracts Krishna. Trinadati sadhichena tayorapi sadhishena amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhavati. That humility is very, very attractive to the Lord. So Sanatana and Rupa Goswami and Anupama, they came in front of Lord Chaitanya and they put what is called the thing you put straw in your mouth. They put some straw in their teeth. And that way they bow their head before the Lord to indicate that I could come in a very, very humble and submissive way. And then they started to offer wonderful prayers to the Lord, and they explained that, my dear Lord, actually we are the most sinful. We are the most fallen. We have been born in very high-class political families, and yet we have taken up the activities of servants of the Muslims. And not only that, we have committed all sinful activities throughout our lives. And that Jagai and Bharai, whom we all know, they were so sinful, they committed every sin possible except one. That one sin they did not commit, that they never offended a Vaishnava. But they were so addicted to sense gratification and sinful activity that Chaitanya wrote, Namasanathan Guru Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya, that we are more sinful than Jagai and Bharai. And they were not just saying that. Sometimes when we speak, sometimes very humbly, we say it because it's fashionable. It's nice to be, to externally be humble, but in our minds and hearts we're saying, we're not really feeling like that. But they were actually feeling like that. They were actually feeling so low and so downtrodden and so fallen. But yet they were the highest devotees of the Lord. They had fearless for God, even while they were servants of the Bhagavan. And actually, I actually skipped one part. During that time, when Sanatana Goswami was ruling the government, he wrote letters to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, explaining that he wanted to associate with him and see him and offer his service to him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never wrote back. He sent one, two, three, four letters. After so many letters, Lord Chaitanya wrote one letter, one line back, and he said, just as a wife, she may have a husband who she's not very enthusiastic to serve, but she's always thinking that she has a lover, so she's more interested in associating with her lover than with her husband. But in order for her husband not to detect, she does her service very nicely. She cleans the house, she cooks for him. But in her mind, she's always waiting to get an opportunity to meet her lover. So he wrote that back and sent that. He said, this is how you should perform your duty. So in other words, Sanatana Goswami was the servant of the Bhagavans. And he should go on with his service, but in his heart, he should always be thinking of Krishna. He should always be thinking of Krishna. When will I meet Krishna? When will I get a chance to offer my life to Krishna? So Lord Chaitanya, he said to them, he said, actually, it is not that I have come on a trip to Vrindavan. I've actually come to see both of you, and Sanatana Goswami and Anupam. And you have been my dear devotee for many lifetimes. And actually, on the plea of going to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped at Ramakeli to meet Rupa Sanatana Goswami and Anupam. And then he was about to leave and go to Vrindavan. But Sanatana Goswami said, my dear Lord, why are you going to Vrindavan with so many people following you? They will think you're just some charlatan or some, you know, personality who's interested in followers and name and fame. It's not good to go to the holy places with so many thousands of people following you. So Lord Chaitanya, he started to leave and headed towards Vrindavan, and all these people started to follow him. And he said, yes, and nothing else followed him, actually. So he turned around and went back to Jagannathpuri. And returned, never went to Vrindavan on that particular trip. So Lord Chaitanya planted a seed within his heart, and now he was eager to make his move to associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just prior to that, Rupa Goswami, who was really helping to rule the government, and many of them had become very rich. The Nalab had given them unlimited amounts of wealth because they were such faithful servants. And he was very generous. In fact, he practically adopted them as their own children. There was a lot of affection at that time, although he was a Muslim leader and very cruel. Because Sanatana and Rupa Goswami and Anupam were such faithful and dedicated and humble persons, he took very much compassion on them, and he wanted to show them his generosity. So he gave them unlimited amounts of power and wealth. But one day, Rupa Goswami decided to give it all up. And he took all his wealth and went to one village, and he distributed all his wealth to, not all of it, but most of it. And Prabhupada writes in one verse word that he took half of his wealth. He took his wealth and divided it in half. He gave 50% to as he said, to propagate Krishna consciousness in the world. He took the other 25% and kept it for emergencies, and the other 25% he kept for personal expenses. Prabhupada said, this is the standard. We should try to follow Rupa Goswami. Of course, it's very hard if you're a millionaire and you're not really much interested in giving $500,000 to the temple, but Prabhupada didn't really push that point too much. The idea is that for grihastha, those in family life, they should give a portion of their earnings in order to support Krishna consciousness movement. Because grihastha ashram means attachment to material things. In order to free ourselves from attachment to material things, we offer these material things as an opportunity for devotional service. So, whatever we can do in the form of offering our wealth, time, energy, resources, and even the facilities of our own home, these are opportunities to become detached from these things, because these things have a way of binding us to the idea of, this is my house, this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my money, I am mine. And this I am mine principle is the contaminated consciousness that keeps the living entity trapped within the cycle of birth and death. Ultimately, everything belongs to Krishna. So, after some time, Sanatana Goswami, he also left, and he went to the home of one devotee, whose name was Tapan Meshwar, and he just started to read Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wrote to the Nawab that I'm sick, and I'm getting well, I'm recovering from my health, I won't be in for a while. But he actually wasn't sick. He was just studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So after some time, weeks went on, and he never came back. So the Nawab sent one servant and said, find Sanatana Goswami. He has to run the government. I have so many other things I need to do, and he's not here. So the servant went, found him, came back, and said, really, his health is fine. He's just reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Nawab became furious, so he went personally. And didn't even knock on the door of the house of Tapan Meshwar. He just crashed through the door. He saw Sanatana Goswami there with his devotees. And he was giving some lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he became very angry. He said, what are you doing? Your older brother, referring to himself, has so many plans in order to persecute other living entities. His whole business was to exploit, to conquer different areas. He said, I'm going out to Orissa, to conquer Orissa, and I want you to manage the government. How can I do that? So Sanatana Goswami explained that actually, you are the supreme ruler. You can do whatever you like to do, because it is explained that the king or the ruler is the representative of God in one sense. You do whatever you want to do, but I'm not coming back. I quit. So now I became mad. He told his guards to lock him up, put him in jail. So Sanatana Goswami was thrown in jail. So Rupa Goswami, really realizing that Sanatana Goswami was in jail, he wanted to help his brother. So what he did is that he took 10,000 gold coins and distributed or deposited with one grocer near the jail of Sanatana Goswami. He told that grocer, keep that 10,000 gold coins, and at one point deliver them to Sanatana Goswami. So Rupa Goswami wrote a letter to Sanatana Goswami. He told him that Lord Chaitanya is coming, so please free yourself. I have deposited 10,000 gold coins with this grocer. Here's an opportunity to get out of jail. So Sanatana Goswami was being held prisoner in chains by one Muslim guard. And this Muslim man was just an ordinary guard, not very noted for anything. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking, I have to go see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My whole life depends on seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I have to free myself from this jail. So he decided, well, use some diplomacy. And Srila Prabhupada writes that a devotee is straightforward. We don't use diplomacy in order to get what we want. But sometimes, in certain cases, where one's devotional life is at jeopardy, one may use diplomacy in order to facilitate emotional service, but not for one's own personal sense gratification. One cannot be diplomatic in order to get to position oneself in order to enjoy sense gratification. Diplomatic means you speak one way, but you have another meaning. That's what diplomacy means. You're saying one thing, but there's something else. There's some other meaning in there. So Sanatana Goswami, he started to praise this chokidar, this guard. He said, actually, you are a very highly learned and very saintly person, and I am also a saintly person. So, you have come from a very wonderful family. Therefore, you should show compassion upon me. You should free me from this prison. I actually want to go on tour and pilgrimage to Mecca. I want to go to the holy land of Mecca, because we all know Mecca is the holy land where Muslims go. So please, free me so I can go on with my spiritual life. And so he said, I will offer you 5,000 gold coins. And he presented 5,000 gold coins. So the chokidar, he was a little bit moved, but he wasn't convinced. And then Sanatana Goswami started to preach to him and started to glorify him, started to praise him. And it's explained in that particular narration and that he really touched his heart. And the man started to cry. And then he said, what can I do if I let you free and I will be persecuted? So Sanatana Goswami said, well, you just take me down to the banks of the river. And you tell them, I went to the banks of the river to pass through. And all of a sudden, while you weren't looking, I just jumped in with all my chains. And I was washed away by the river. So, very good idea. So he gave him 2,000 more gold coins. And gradually, he was free. And so now Rupa Goswami left. And he was on his own. He had to travel for days to meet Rupa Goswami. To meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was staying at the house of Chandrasekhar. And he had to shave. He had to really bathe properly in days. He was traveling throughout the jungles of the forest. It was very dangerous. During that time, he contracted a very, very bad case of oozing sores. He was drinking some bad water, and all these sores came along with his body. So he was in a very, pretty much a very difficult situation. No food, traveling alone, hardly any facility to keep himself together. But he was so determined to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His heart's desire was to take shelter of the Lord. And here is another example that a devotee doesn't consider so much what is difficult or what is not difficult in one's devotional service. Devotional service needs to do what is ever necessary to get the mercy of the Lord. So difficulties are really not impediments in our spiritual life. They're opportunities to increase our devotion. So it's explained that one should never be deterred by difficulties in one's Krishna consciousness. We see in the early days of Krishna consciousness and establishing this movement, it was very difficult to build this society. Very, very difficult. Great hardships. Great devotees sometimes would go out and distribute books in the middle of the winter on the streets and parking lots in freezing weather. I remember I was here in 1982. That was my first year in Chicago. I came here in 1982. And I was going out every day distributing books during the Christmas marathon. And during that year, I think it was the winter of 1981, which was a really cold winter. We were distributing books in the snow. It was so cold, and it was so full of snowy that people wouldn't even open their car windows. But I remember this, that somehow or other, we were just determined that we had to distribute books no matter what. And they would drop us off at the parking lot, and early in the morning and say, we'll see you at 6 o'clock at night. You have your books, and that's it. You have your distributing your... And so we went on like that for days. And there's so many stories of devotees doing whatever is necessary to spread Krishna consciousness. So material impediments, difficulties are actually opportunities to increase our devotion. So Sanatana Goswami wasn't thinking of anything but I have to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So while he was traveling, he happened to come to the village where his brother-in-law, whose name was Srikanta, was a very, very wealthy merchant. And Srikanta, he welcomed Sanatana Goswami, and he offered him all kinds of wealth and facilities. He said, no, I don't have time for these things. I have to go meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is actually my only concern. So Srikanta wanted to offer Sanatana Goswami something, so he said, here, it's cold at night, take this blanket. He gave him a very costly, expensive blanket. So Sanatana Goswami took the blanket to keep warm, and he kept traveling. Finally, after days and days and days, he finally reached the home of Chandrasekhar, which is in Navadvipa, West Bengal. And Lord Chaitanya was staying there. So while Lord Chaitanya was in the house of Chandrasekhar, when Sanatana Goswami got there, he didn't go in. He was somewhat embarrassed to go see Lord Chaitanya. So he sat outside the door and didn't say anything. He just sat right outside the door. And Lord Chaitanya said to Chandrasekhar, is there some saint sitting outside the door? I think you better go check. I think there's a saintly person at your door. So Chandrasekhar went to the door, he looked out, he saw Sanatana Goswami, who had long hair, beard, all scraggly, sitting there, hadn't bathed for days, hadn't eaten for days. Came back in and said, my dear Lord, there's just one Muslim mendicant sitting outside. Lord Chaitanya said, Muslim mendicant? He said, that's Sanatana Goswami, he's a great saint, tell him to come in. So Lord Chaitanya, he came and he actually physically picked up because Sanatana Goswami was too embarrassed to see Lord Chaitanya because his whole body was full of all these sores that he had contracted from drinking bad water. So Lord Chaitanya came up to Sanatana Goswami. Immediately he said, Sanatana! And embraced him. And upon embracing him, his entire body became free from all these sores. The Lord had shown his special mercy to Sanatana Goswami by freeing him from all his disease. Sanatana Goswami was so embarrassed that Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of God, in his worship of the Lord, actually touched his body. And the Lord Chaitanya started to speak to him. He said, Sanatana, you should take your bath and get clean. And then we can spend some time together. And then Prabhupada explains in the first form, there's a word called derivation. Prabhupada said another word for derivation is hippie. He said Lord Chaitanya didn't like long hair. He didn't like this hippie thing. He always wanted his devotees to look clean shaven like that. And so Sanatana Goswami shaved, cut his beard, and then they gave him some clothes to wear. But Lord Chaitanya was still not pleased with him, and he couldn't detect why. And then Lord Chaitanya was looking at that blanket he had. He said, Krishna has taken all of your material attachments away, but still you're trying to maintain one. And he was looking at the blanket, and Sanatana Goswami understood Lord Chaitanya doesn't like this blanket. Because it was a very costly, a very opulent blanket given by his brother-in-law. So Sanatana Goswami understood Lord Chaitanya's mind, so he went out. And he was looking for someone to give the blanket to. So he saw one Hindu beggar sitting on the side of the road. And he had this old, tattered blanket with all kinds of holes in it. So Sanatana Goswami, very humbly, said to the man, he said, please do me one little favor. He said, yes, you seem to be a very saintly person, whatever you like. He said, will you trade me your blanket for mine? The man said, don't joke with me. Why are you speaking like this? This is an old, dirty, old, holy blanket. You have a beautiful, nice, why do you want to trade? Don't joke with me like this. He said, no, no. He said, actually, I prefer your blanket. So finally he did it, and his last attachment, his last material attachment was gone. And at that point, when all our attachments are gone, and immediately there's a special awakening within our hearts, and Krishna reveals himself when we give up all our attachments to everything. So he came back, and then Lord Chaitanya was pleased. And from there, Lord Chaitanya gave some instructions. And he, of course, later on, he spoke to him. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. He spoke to Rupa Goswami, he spoke to Sanatana Goswami. And those instructions are the foundation of our operation in Krishna consciousness. He told him one story. He said, the story of Sarvajnan. Sarvajnan. Have you heard that story, Sarvajnan? Wonderful story. He said, there was an astrologer, and one man came to an astrologer. The man was very poor, very poor. And the astrologer said, my dear sir, actually, by my astrological calculations, you are very rich. Your father has left you an immense treasure. So, please. But in finding that treasure, it's actually in your own backyard. But in order to find that treasure, don't dig on the southern side. Don't dig on the western side. Don't dig on the northern side. Dig on the eastern side. And to dig on the eastern side if you'll find your treasure. So, it's an allegory. By digging on the western side, you will get stung by bees and wasps. And if you dig on the southern side, you will get attacked by a ghost. And if you dig on the northern side, you will be eaten by a big black serpent. Serpent? A snake. And if you dig on the eastern side, you will easily find the treasure. So what is that? The western side, at least, wasps and drones. That is the fruit of karma kanda section of the Vedas, where people perform ritualistic activities in order to get some material benefit. Karma kanda. It's like the activities of karma kanda, there's so many rules, so many regulations, and many of the times very difficult to actually acquire what you're performing. So it's like being stung by drones and wasps. Very difficult for us. Now, from the benefit is you get some material happiness. That's karma kanda. Elevation to the higher planet. And better material life. Don't dig there. You'll be stung by the wasps and drones. Karma kanda. And if you go to the west, to the southern side, there's a ghost there. And that ghost, he represents, Jnanakanda, or philosophical speculation on the scriptures, or the idea of achieving liberation. What does a ghost do? A ghost, if you're haunted by a ghost, what happens? Your mind is always being disturbed. There's no peace. Have you ever had any experience of being attacked by a ghost? Anybody? Yeah. Nobody? Yes?
Detroit.
Some of these old houses, they have a few unembodied living entities flying around. I think if you go to the fourth floor, the very back room there, you'll find a few of the characters just there waiting. Ghosts are everywhere. There's nice ghosts, and then there's not nice ghosts. There's ghosts that are also persons. They have somewhat motive. Passion ghosts, and there's motive ignorant ghosts. There's all kinds of ghosts. So a ghost will disturb one's mind constantly. So that is like Jnanakanda, trying to philosophically understand God through scriptures. It's not this, it's not this, and you're always speculating. And ultimately, you never reach your only conclusion. You get some freedom from the material energy. But again, after some time, you fall down again back into the material energy to take up materialistic activities. So don't dig on that side. And don't dig on the northern side, where there are big black giant snake who would devour you. What is that? The process of yoga. Performing yoga. Or getting mystic cities, mystic power. People are attracted by mystic power. Become lighter than the lightest. Become smaller than the smallest. The main mystic power we find nowadays in the world is people can make things appear within their hands. Prakti City. There's one yogi in South India, he's very famous. You go up to him, Bhagavan, give me some gold. He says, yes, gold. You want Rasgulla? Yes, Rasgulla. Whatever you want. Like that. So, they can perform some magic by getting, or they can fly in the air some yogi. But the idea is, I want to be powerful. The whole idea is I concept. The idea of power, control, manipulation. It's like being devoured by the big black snake of false ego, which can never get Krishna's mercy. So he said, don't dig on the southern side, don't dig on the western side, don't dig on the northern side. But if you take a little bit of dirt away from the eastern side, you'll find your treasure, and that's Bhakti Yoga. So Lord Chaitanya told him that if you, in your teachings, emphasize pure bhakti, because that is the real benefit of the mind. And then he explained some of the philosophical points on Krishna consciousness. And he also told him to excavate the holy land of Vrindavan and find the places of Krishna's pastimes like that. So Sanatana Goswami established one temple, Sri Mudan Mohan Temple, one of the more famous temples in Vrindavan, beautiful temple. When have you seen Mudan Mohan Temple? Anyone else? It's like a round dome that goes very straight up, very high round dome. I think the dome is about 20 feet, maybe more. 70 feet. It's very big. And it's one of the most beautiful temples. Shishi Modan Mohan. And then he taught him three principles. He says the Vedas deal with only three subject matters. Sambandham, Avideya, Prayojana. Sambandha means to meet God, to come in contact with God. Avideya means to perform service for God. And Prayojana means to get the goal of life, love of God. He says this is the essence of all Vedic teachings. He now said the essence. He said that's all the Vedas really deal with, these three subject matters. So preach these three things. Now there are three deities in Vrindavan, Mudan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. And each of these deities represents one of the aspects of devotional service. Mudan Mohan, Sanatana Goswami represents, he is the Sambandha deity. That deity, that connection, it brings you to Krishna consciousness. Govindaji is the Avideya, or that deity that engages you in Krishna consciousness. And Gopinath is the deity that gives you pure love of God. So you might say, well, we're worshipping Kishore Kishori, we're worshipping Radha Vrindavan Chandra, we're worshipping all of the other deities. What does that mean? Well, the meaning is that you're worshipping Mudan Mohan, Govindaji, or Gopinath through your deity according to the level of spiritual life you're at. If you just came to Krishna consciousness, Krishna's coming to you as Mudan Mohan. If you engage fully after some time, Krishna's coming to you as Govindaji. If you're on the platform of love of God, he's coming to you as Gopinath, the Lord of the Gopis. And Krishna reveals himself through the deity you're worshiping according to one of these three aspects of his personality, his manifestation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, these three principles. He told him to write books and to teach these principles. Sambandha, Abhidhaya, and Prayojana. There's so many wonderful stories of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami would every day he would go, he had to go one route in order to get to He had to pass the Jagannath temple. And in order for him to pass the Jagannath temple, he would have to pass by the Pujaris, or right there. But he felt himself so small and so degraded that his humility would not allow him to go near the Pujaris or Jagannath, because he felt himself that, I am such a low-class person, how can I associate with such personality? So he would take another room, and he would have to walk along the beach. And the beach, the sand on the beach, being beaten by the hot sun, was so hot that Sanatana Goswami's feet would get blisters every day from walking on the sand. It was so hot. But rather than go in the area where the Pujaris were, he would take the beach room in order to exhibit his, telling how he was so humble. So again, Lord Chaitanya explains that we cannot imitate the humility of Sanatana Goswami. There's one beautiful story wherein Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were in Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami, it was Sanatana Goswami's birthday. And Rupa Goswami was his younger brother. So Rupa Goswami wanted to do something nice for his older brother. He wanted to make him a little feast for his birthday. But they were mendicants. They had nothing. They were living in Vrindavan. Every night it was a different tree. All they had was one big bag and one big bowl. That was all they had. No material possessions. So Rupa Goswami was thinking, how can I make a nice offering to my brother? I don't even have anything. So while he was sitting there thinking, one little village girl came by with a basket of sugar and a pot of milk, some rice, some atta, flour. And she said, here, Rupa Goswami, this is for you. Please take it. So he was so excited to get this offering that he didn't even notice the girl. So she just left. And then he prepared a nice feast. That night he presented it to his brother, Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami, oh, thank you very much. He was so pleased by his devotion. But he said, where did you get all this? We don't have anything. Where did you get all these goods? Well, Rupa Goswami said, well, this was this one girl, and she came by, and she presented all this nice rice and everything, and I said, Rupa Goswami, girl, what did she look like? Then he started to think, actually, then he started to, as best he could remember, describe her, and then they both realized that this girl was not an ordinary girl at all. It was Srimati Radharani personally who came to give Rupa Goswami the opportunity to serve his brother. So Sanatana Goswami said, you have been taking service from Radharani? We are here to give service to Radharani, and you're accepting service from Radharani? This is not good. So rather than being pleased with the offering, he somewhat chastised him for accepting service. So here's another interesting point, that a devotee doesn't ask the Lord for anything, really. But sometimes the Lord, out of his mercy, will provide whatever the devotee needs anyway, without even asking. Prabhupada said, we should never ask Krishna for nothing, because Krishna knows what we need. Krishna knows what we need. And he'll give whatever we need when we need it. Sometimes we think we need it right away. And he knows, maybe I'll give it to them afterwards, or maybe I'll give it to them, maybe I won't give it to them. So a devotee is just interested in serving and knowing that Krishna will take care of everything. Many of you have the experience that if you just do your service, Krishna comes, provides exactly what you need when you need it. So this is a very important point. We should never ask Krishna for anything. People come to our temple, they put money in the box, they want this, they want that. They always pray for some material benediction. Sometimes Krishna gives, sometimes he doesn't. But we're not interested in what Krishna can give, we're interested in Krishna. Because by obtaining Krishna, then there's nothing else you really want. You can never really compare anything that Krishna can give. That's the whole material world. Everyone wants Krishna's energy, but they don't want Krishna. They want the big man's gifts, but they don't want to associate with the big man. Devotee just wants to serve Krishna, and by that service, Krishna will take care of everything. That is guaranteed. He says that, Gautiya Bhutti Janam, the Bhivatiya Pranashati. You are, what is their verse? I carry what they lack, I preserve what they have. If they simply engage in my service. So if you have that kind of faith that by serving Krishna, everything will come, and then your spiritual life is perfect. Don't ever go outside. Don't ever ask Krishna for anything. Just ask Krishna for service. If you have to ask Krishna for something to help you in your service, you can do that. Sometimes we ask Krishna to help us in serving him, but it's never for something for our own personal interests. It's always to assist Krishna in his devotional service like that. So there's so many stories. Pastimes, activities of Shiva Sanatana Goswami. And we could probably go on and on and on. But I'll stop here and see if anyone would like to add anything, any comments, common questions, stories, Sanatana Goswami. Yes, which one were? Hello?
There's one story I remember is that Sanatana Goswami used to go on roads and pray for my every day.
Beautiful story. Mm-hmm. Vishwambar Prabhu offered him a wonderful story. Sanatana Goswami had a vow that every day he would do Govardhan Parikram, which means Govardhan Parikram is 14 miles around. And so, after some years, it was becoming difficult for Sanatana Goswami to walk 14 miles around Govardhan Hill. In India, if you go to Govardhan Hill, there's different ways you can do the parikram. You can walk around it and stop at the holy places. Or you can, they have it, I don't know what it's called, but you can go around it by paying your obeisances. That you pay your obeisances in one spot, and then wherever your head touches, you walk to that spot and put your feet there, and you pay your obeisances to that there. And then, Dandaparikram. So you go around the whole 14 miles by paying your obeisances all the way around. But that's not the ultimate. There's another one where Sadhu will have a basket on him, and he has 108 rocks on him. And he pays his obeisances at the very beginning. The beginning is using Manasikanga. He's titled Manasikanga. That's the beginning of the room. You pay your obeisances there, and then you take one rock from your basket, and you put it where your head is. And you go back to where you started from. You pay your obeisances again, and then you put the second rock. And this way, you keep doing it. After you do 108 rocks, then you go up to the next stage, and next to the rock side. And then you do 108 bases, all the bases in that place. And then you go to the next place and do 108. It usually takes a few months, or maybe longer, to get all the way around over Dunhill. And they just stay there all. You can see it, even today people do it. And you pay your bases 108 times on each section. But Sanatana Goswami every day was going around over Dunhill. And he was getting very old. It's not easy to go down over Govardhan. We went in November, we did a parikram on Govardhan Hill. And it took us. We left early in the morning. And we stopped at many of the holy places. And we didn't finish until 11 o'clock that night. So in fact, it took us all day. And you can't wear shoes. There's no shoes allowed. Because it's considered to be offensive to walk around Govardhan. Because Govardhan Hill is Krishna. Is not different than Krishna. Krishna manifests himself as Govardhan in the form of this hill. So, Sanatana Goswami, he made a vow, every day I will go around Govardhan Hill. But he was getting old. And so Lord Chaitanya told him, he saw the austerity. He was still trying to do it. He was in his late 60s, 70s years old. And he couldn't do it anymore. So Lord Chaitanya said, you don't have to worry about me. doing this austerity anymore. You're getting too old. He simply said, read Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright, the Govardhan Shila. Worship that Shila.
Four times. Around the temple. Around the Shila.
Four times around the Shila, and that would be sufficient to doing the Govardhan Parikram. So Lord Chaitanya, here's another good example where the Lord sees that the devotee is making some effort to serve him. The Lord helps. The Lord always helps. There's a story of Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was so old, every day he was dressed in the Gopinath Devi, Jagannath Puri. And Gopinath is a big deity. Those of you who dress the deities. Sometimes, if you're small, and the deity's big, you have to kind of like stretch and strain and reach to put on the deity's clothes. So Gadadhar Pandit, when he was very, very old, he was trying to dress Gopinath. And he had, Gopinath had this crown. And so every day he was trying to reach up, he was reaching up to put the crown on Gopinath's head. And he was straining and struggling with great effort. And finally he could do it. So the Lord actually saw his devotee straining and struggling so hard, then one day he sat down. The deity sat down. So today, if you go to Jagannath Puri, Gopinath is sitting down. He's playing a flute. Just like Radha Nam. Shishi Kishore Kishore is standing there with a flute. And but he's sitting down, playing a flute. The deity sat down. So sometimes we doubt whether the deity is Krishna. The deity is Krishna. Krishna is there in that deity. He is the deity, for sure. So Sanatana Goswami got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. There are other stories of the life of Sanatana Goswami, but I don't know how much time we have. I'd like to hear from other devotees if anyone else has any stories. Huh? Govinda Kund? Govinda Kund. Oh, the story of that. Yeah. This is a wonderful story. You want to tell it? Okay. Sanatana Goswami took up his residence at Govinda Kund. And there was one merchant, and he was worshipping Lord Shiva for material benedictions. So when the Shiva appeared to him and told him, actually, you should go to Sanatana Goswami because he has the greatest amount of wealth. And he's very magnanimous, very generous. Whatever you want, you can get from Sanatana Goswami. He's very wealthy. In fact, he has a touchstone. A touchstone is a rock that if you touch it to anything, it changes that item into gold. There is such a thing. It doesn't exist on this planet nowadays, but it did at one time. It exists in the heavenly planets. The rock, you can touch it and it changes things into gold. So, when he heard, oh, Sanatana Goswami has a touchstone, let me go. So he went to Sanatana Goswami and said, my dear Sanatana, you're a very saintly, very generous person. I hear you have a touchstone. Will you please give it to me? Sanatana Goswami said, well, I used to have a touchstone, but I don't have it anymore. And he said, you don't have it? He said, yes, I threw it away. He said, yes, where is it? He said, it's over there in that garbage pile over there. If you can go look through there, you can find it. So the man went looking through it, and he found it, a touchstone. So he was so happy. Now he had a touchstone. He was touching everything, making it gold. And then he started to think, Sanatana Goswami is a very intelligent person. Why would he take a touchstone and throw it in the garbage? Ah, I know he has something more valuable. And I'm going to get that. So he went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, my dear Sanatana, I think you have something more valuable than this touchstone. Sanatana said, yes, you're right. He said, would you give it to me? He said, yes, but before I can give it to you, you should throw that touchstone away. He said, throw the touchstone away? He said, yes, guaranteed I will give it to you, trust me. So the man is looking at Sanatana, he's looking at a touchstone. All right, threw it away. He said, now give it to me. Nandana Goswami said, just repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the most valuable thing you can have. What is some material piece of wealth? It cannot necessarily guarantee you anything. It can't even guarantee you'll be happy. Wealth doesn't make you happy. You can have it, it can be the source of your death. Many people die because they lose their wealth. So, the holy name of the Lord is actually the real wealth. But it's kind of significant that Sanatana Goswami didn't give it to him until he threw his touchstone away. And the meaning is that in order to really have or to really appreciate and benefit from the holy name of the Lord, we have to get rid of our material desires. If we still have material desires and we want Krishna, it doesn't work. Krishna will give us a little taste just to attract our minds, but that is to help us become detached. Ultimately, we have to get rid of it. Everything we have in this material world is simply baggage that we've accumulated in so many lives. But we like our baggage. We like being miserable. We like carrying big burdens of so many things that simply keep us distracted from our real goal of life. We're attached to the suffering. The living entity in the material world is attached to suffering. There's a story where there was one old lady, and she was carrying a big load on her back. Every day she was carrying a big load on her back. So one day while she was carrying the load fell. It fell on the ground. So she called out, Krishna, help me, help me, help me. And Krishna came. He said, what do you want? She said, can you help me pick up the load and put it on my back? Krishna said, what a nonsense. Krishna came. And what does he want? He wants Krishna to help to put on the load again. So we approach, we come to Krishna consciousness, and we want to keep the big burden on our back. We still want all the things in this world, and still we want Krishna. The way in Krishna becomes so wonderful when we give up these things. Giving up, it means that we just become absorbed in Krishna's service. Chant the holy name, serve the Lord, engage in devotional service. Take Krishna prasada. Become fired up in Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, it's that kevala nandakanda, susukham kartavamiyam. It's completely joyful. This process is joyful. The soul is joyful. The soul is experiencing the misery of the association with material energy, so it cannot experience its joyful nature. As we get rid of that association, we start to feel our own natural qualities of joyfulness become manifest as we come in contact with devotional service. That is Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Shankar Pandit Prabhu, we humbly beg you to give one small little story of the life of pastimes of Srila Sanatana Goswami. I'm sure I've overlooked many stories.
It is not where Sanatana Goswami
is. No. Krishna saved that story for you.
It is very rich story. I think that Sharjah once had a possession of a very beautiful deity named Madan Gopal. And that Vaikya Sharjah was regularly worshipped as a particular deity. And of course, it was just becoming very, very busy and spreading Krishna consciousness. As Vaikya Sharjah entrusted this deity to one of their great Ramadarsha. He gave him the deity of Madan Gopal that Krishna worships in their life. So this Brahma became very, very happy upon getting the deity of Madan Gopal. And every day he was worshipped and massive was going to remove the regulations, but in a very spontaneous way. the chapter of Rama is discussing the deity of the one who is the son, the chief of the deity of the son. So when the Brahma and his children were put together to come to the father, the Brahma was very weak, and also chief of the deity of the son. So this went on for some time, and one day, Sanatana Swami happened to visit the house of this Brahma. And he saw him, but she considered it very peculiar way. Because even though Sanatana Swami was very intimate associate of Radha and Krishna, still it was expressing his talent by taking the mind of the standard guy, the people in there. So Sanatana Swami was a very nice Brahma. She is a deity, like one of his children. Samantha Goswami reminded her family and said, look, there are many prescribed to you in their relationship, godly deities. And you should follow these particular standards of deities. Otherwise, people will misunderstand how you are relating to the Lord and your relationship. Properly appreciate the Lord in the deities form. So after lecture is mildly touched by the Brahman was like, externally the Brahman became somewhat concerned because he was thinking that Sanatana Goswami was obviously a very intelligent personality and power directed by Krishna is impossible. Perhaps he was, that this is my method of worshiping him. Although internally the Brahman was somewhat pleased that somehow I was going to wait for this wonderful Vaishnava. His honor in my devotional so that night, the deity, Krishna, appeared to the Brahman in the dream. And he said, actually, I'm very satisfied with the method of worshiping you. But that Vaishnava is not in the Brahman, she is not going to be in the devotee. And I'm going to use him. And there are things in the way of teaching if he's going to be about worshiping in my deity. So he's going to visit him in the morning, so he gives me in my form of giving me to him in my form of mother in law of him. And simultaneously, the deity is going to open a humble song in him. And he said, you have unjustly criticized that Brahma Krishna. I shall bear your satisfaction, the acceptance of his children. The man is concerned with his mood of devotion. So you should only be having a color. So the next day, Sanatana Swami went to see the Brahmana. And of course, the Brahmana remembered the Lord's instructions, and of course, Sanatana Swami remembered the Lord's instructions. So both the Lord embraced one another and begged for forgiveness. And after that, he asked for further. Then the Brahmana requested Sanatana Swami very humble and said, do you accept this deity to be my devotee? Working in life, the way of you able to teach others how to understand how to worship the Lord as a deity. So Sanatana Swami said, no, I'm a sannyasa. I do not have the adequate opportunity to worship my devotee. You are about to bring up all the souls, so you can keep them. And the Brahman said, no, 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 it's actually the Lord's worship that you take them and worship them in this way. So this way, the deity might have no obligation to Sanatana Goswami, and he eventually started calling the deity Mother Moha. And it says Sanatana Goswami was a sannyasa, and then they have adequate facilities to worship Mother Moha. He was going to have to keep him in the tree. And every day he would cooperate and take care of some food trucks to the deity. Then this way, the deity, day after day, was accepting this wonderful temple offer for the hands of Sanatana Goswami. So one day Sanatana Goswami made a type of bread, chitakala preparation, quite famous in Vrindavan called bhati, flat bread, and it's generally unsliced. So he offered this bread, unsliced with no salt or anything, to Madan Mohan. And in the course of this making the offering, the deity spoke to Sanatana Goswami, and he said, my dear Sanatana, you're offering me this. It doesn't mean you have to talk. At least you can maybe add a little glass of something. Make it a little more powerful. And Sanatana Goswami said, my dear Lord, Today you can ask him for salt and butter. Tomorrow you can ask him for food. And you have to ask him for food. Or food is that. Then the day he complies with us.
Madame Mohan became humble.
And that same deity, Madame Mohan, is now in Taipur. The very self-same deity of our worship has to respond to the same
deity. When Aurangzeb, the terrible Muslim, cruel dictator, charged into Vrindavan in the 1600s. He ravaged many of the temples. And many of the pujaris got some of the deities out of there in time. And some they were taken to places like Jaipur. So Madan Mohan was taken by the pujaris to be saved from Aurangzeb. And he went to Jaipur, so he's there now. Yes?
There's one other short story that came to mind.
Good.
Thank you quite much. Guru Goswami and Chandrasar, they brought up a very interesting relationship. Guru Goswami being a member of our success, Chandrasar is his guru. But two of them had some wonderful brotherly, transcendental friendship between them. So one day, Guru Goswami was working on a book called Chaturthi Chandra, which consists of 100 verses in the application of Srimati Radharani. So in the course of writing the opening verse of this book, Guru Goswami had Chandra Goswami to review and edit it, and if there were any additions to the names that he tried to make it. So Chandra Goswami looked at the verse, and the verse was describing the wonderful beauty of Srimati Radharani, the golden eyes, and and so that's when the Swami could understand that no girl was in
pushing the swing of the man and the machine like the other one. And the other one was pushing her to take the truck, her assault. And so that was one of the understood how this came up here and disappeared. He knew that she must have been was actually quite satisfied if he could have found him to compare from that, that on the black hair braid he said was black snake, the beauty of the black snake.
Wonderful story.
Rupa saw that Santa was under the glory of except me, and he could understand something sensitive had happened. And Rupa saw and reminded himself, and said, now he must have thought of some other quiet little person that was first. And he said, now your verse is perfect, your beautiful verse.
So many incidents where the Lord and the Lord's devotees intervene to give the association of themselves to, you know, give a clear understanding of their mood. So out of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sanatana Goswami is considered the leader of all. And out of all the six, we follow Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Their teachings, their writings, their life is an example. Actually, Srila Prabhupada wanted a group of devotees who would be able to come up to the standards of Goswamis in our movement. He wanted to take 25 devotees to Vrindavan and let them live like Goswamis. Of course, it never really happened. I don't know if we were able to come up to that standard. But Prabhupada also wanted to continue that mood because our particular line is Vairagya. Vairagya means renunciation. And that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhakt Vanir Vairagi Pradhan. This is a verse from Shri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the life and soul of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is renunciation. The life and soul of Lord Chaitanya's movement is renunciation. The more we can develop that mood of renunciation, the more we can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, we'll leave it there. Srila Sanatana Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.